Now, I don't know if you gave any thought this week to your death experiences that you had. We talked about them last week, and I'm really hoping that you gave some thought to those death experiences that you've had in life. And I hope that every time the Lord brought one of those death experiences to your mind or your heart, or anytime you thought of that, I really hope that you gave those death experiences to Jesus, which is also another thing that we talked about last week, giving it to Jesus. You know, the death experiences, though, that we considered last week are death experiences and hurts that largely we can't avoid in life. That's what we were talking about last week. The ones unavoidable hurts and even those hurts and death experiences that we contributed to in life. For the most part, they were pretty unavoidable. I mean, we could have made them better. We made better decisions. But this week, as we begin our Lenten journey, we're going to talk about the most important death experience that you can have in your own life. The most important death experiences of them all. Now, this death experience you can avoid if you want to. Now, you avoid it at your own loss, but you can avoid it. Now, if you've ever seen pictures of the Holy Land, you know that it is a desolate place. Most of Israel is barren desert. And we need to be reminded occasionally that most of what we are taught about our faith was learned and was taught originally by those people who found God in the desert, in the wilderness. Now, Mark says, the way he always gets to the point, don't you love Mark, that at once the Spirit made Jesus go into the wilderness. Now, Jesus had experienced his baptism, and God himself confirmed his identity. You are my beloved son, he said. So having confirmed and knowing that he was who he knew himself to be, you would have thought that Jesus would have immediately gone about the business of doing what it was that he came to do. You would have thought that's what would have happened. But our gospel lesson this morning tells us otherwise. He had something else to do first before he began his public ministry. Now, our lesson also tells us that it wasn't the devil who interrupted Jesus' ministry. Our lesson says that it was the Holy Spirit who sent Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. It was God who allowed the temptations between the who Jesus was and the what Jesus was supposed to do so that Jesus had time to sort out the how of that, of his mission. A basic fact of living our lives as Christian is that we are never more at risk spiritually than after we have had a mountaintop experience with God. Think about it. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he lost his temper. He smashed the first stone tablets that God had given him. After Elijah had that great spiritual and physical victory against the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel, well, what did he do? Very next day, he was sitting under a tree contemplating suicide. The famous Bible translator, John Bertram Phillips, you might have heard of him as J.B. Phillips. He's most famous that way. He was concerned that young people in his congregation in England just weren't understanding Scripture like they should. So while he was sitting in a bomb shelter in London in World War II, he translated the New Testament into modern English so that young people could understand it. In 1958, he published his New Testament of modern English. The young people of England went wild over this guy because his translation was so easy for them to understand. He became a hero in England. C.S. Lewis thought he was an awesome guy. And after he completed his work, he went into clinical depression and even doubted the existence of God. Took him a while to recover from that. Throughout history, and even in our contemporary lives, After an encounter with God, many times the Holy Spirit will lead us or allow us to go through a wilderness experience. The well-known pastor of Riverside Church in New York City many, many years ago was addressing a bunch of seminarians, and he asked a simple question, and he said, "When did Jesus die?" he asked the seminarians. Well, they looked at each other and they thought, well, this is a trick question, you know. But the sermon that followed that really challenges our idea of the crucifixion. You see, Reverend Campbell claimed that Jesus died his most important death at the beginning of his public ministry and not at the end. And he made the point that Jesus was led into the wilderness to go through something that every human being must go through as well. If we hope to be followers of God, if we hope to be disciples of His, and what that is that we must die. We must die to ourselves. You know, last week we talked at length about the hurts that we all face in life and about how like death experiences they are. And those deaths, those are the deaths that come from daily living in a dark and dying and sinful world. Those little deaths that we all suffer in life, hopefully, brings us to a different kind of a death. One that is the most important death that we can undergo. Now, we can call it death of self, which many times in the church we do. Or you can call it death of your will. Or even if we were real with the program, we might call it, you know, death of our ego. It might speak a little bit more to somebody. But you see, Jesus' first death was in the wilderness. And because he died his first death in the wilderness, the death of his human will, he was able to die his second death, which was on the cross at Calvary's mountain. Listen to how Reverend Ernest Campbell put it that famous day. In the wilderness experience of the temptations, Jesus shook off all the longed-for alternatives and entered into the grief of having to die. And when he fixed his course and rejected all the options that might have spared his life, Luke tells us that he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Now think about what that means. When Jesus went into the wilderness to face the temptations, he made a decision. And the decision that he made was to lay down anything that he might have wanted as a human being, to lay down anything that he might have longed for as a human being, and he chose to die to his human will, so that he would fulfill only the will of his Father. Now, this is powerful stuff. And not only is it powerful, it's something that we should never forget. Because what made it possible for Jesus to die on that cross? What made it possible for Jesus to die at the end of his earthly ministry was that he died at the beginning. He died to himself as a human being. Now, he not only had to die after being tried by Pilate, he had to die when he was tempted by the devil. Before Jesus could live for his Father, with his wonders and his miracles in Galilee, he had to die to himself and withstand the temptations of the devil in the wilderness. Now, we all know what the temptations were, but I just wanted to quickly run them by you so that you understand that they were not just simple moral decisions. Let's look at them in the light of what they mean in terms of Jesus dying to himself. Now, as the Son of God, you know, what would Jesus do to fulfill his mission? How was he going to go about it? He was choosing. Those are wilderness questions. The enemy said, turn these stones into bread. Now, think about that. That seems like, you know, turn these stones into bread. But you know what? It wasn't just Jesus that was hungry. He knew that the entire country was poverty-stricken. People were starving where he was. If he would turn stones into bread, he would save the population. He would save little children. If he would have turned stones into bread, people would have followed him in droves. If he would have given the starving food, there wouldn't have been anyone anywhere he went that wouldn't have listened to his message. They would have heard him. We all know that a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. But Jesus also knew Scripture, and he knew that when people in the Old Testament were filled with manna and quail, they didn't get more faithful. They turned away from God. They rebelled. They doubted. Jesus knew these things. He responded to the enemy, "It's written, man does not live by bread alone." We know how it goes. Jesus didn't say bread wasn't important. He said that bread wasn't the most important thing, and he decided he was going to die to that temptation. Leap off the temple, another temptation and a miracle at that. You know, well, he wouldn't give them food, but Jesus knew, you know, the people impressed easily with signs and wonders. The crowds always followed anyone who amazed them. And Jesus always walked a fine line between miracles for God's purpose and magic for entertainment. He always chose against the magic, even though crowds would have followed him for the signs and wonders. He died to that temptation. Then the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world. "They're yours," the devil told Jesus, if only he would give his allegiance to the enemy. If you think about that temptation for a minute, that is a very sobering offer for Satan to make. If Satan could make that offer to Jesus, that means that all of the kingdoms of this world were his to offer. That's very sobering. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Scripture does teach that Satan is the god of this age. So Satan tells Jesus, "These kingdoms are yours if you'd only bow down." It was an offer of political power. The thought of coming out of the wilderness preaching Roman injustice and putting up a banner, everybody would get behind that. Talking revolution, there were a lot of zealots around who would get behind that message. Seizing military power, after all, that's what the people were expecting of a Messiah. Jesus wouldn't have any of it, of course, and he said, "Go away, Satan, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." You see, the question that Reverend Campbell asked those seminarians all of those years ago in New York City was a really valid question. Jesus did die in the wilderness, and his death in the wilderness made it possible for his death later on the cross. Jesus' death in the wilderness won the battle between the will of God in his life and the deceit of the devil. Tillich said it this way: Jesus not only sacrificed his life, as many martyrs and many ordinary people have done, but he sacrificed everything in himself that would bring people to him as a great personality, instead of bringing them to who is much greater, God his Father. In other words, Jesus died to everything that would have made him personally famous and personally popular to the masses for all the wrong reasons. He died to all of that. He died to himself. And that's the lesson that we have to learn this first Sunday in Lent. That's the great spiritual truth that we have to learn in our lives. When we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, each one of us must have our own wilderness experience. Each one of us are presented with temptations, and we're presented with choices. And is it going to be what we want, or is it going to be what God wants? We have to decide if we are going to choose to die in the desert so that we can live in Christ and in his resurrection power. So my questions to all of you this morning is, what do you need to die to? That's what Lent's for. makes us look at these things. What do we need to die to? Do you need to die to another cocktail after dinner? You need to die to another piece of cake? You need to die to another shopping trip? You need to die to working late again? Do you need to die at yelling at the kids? Or do you need to die to giving in just to shut them up? Do you need to die to badgering your spouse? Do you need to die of being critical of them because, as far as you're concerned, they can't do anything right? Do you need to die to wanting your own way when you want it? We all need to die to ourselves. We must die to our personal wants, to our selfish wills. But death never changes. Death is always painful. But if we want to live in Christ, death to ourselves must come first. But after the death, that's when the peace comes. No more striving. No more anxiety. What do you want? Do you want to live in awesome resurrection power this side of the grave? That's my choice. How will you go about getting that? Dying to yourself is the only way. We live in a consumer world where things are bad and getting worse, and we often make the wrong assumption that more is better. In reality, in truth, in the kingdom, less is more. It's time for us to decide. Will we die to ourselves and let God have it all? But it's a choice each one of us personally have to make. There will be no resurrection without death. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, it is hard for us to let go, but we know we must. All that we are is yours. And we pray today that you would crucify our will, our self, so that we might live in resurrection power in Christ, this side of the grave. But we pray it in the name of the only one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.